For the sake of your health, you really need to find some interests outside of just sports. So listen to Bob talking about sports. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan.
Bob McCowan
on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
One more weekend, three more games, and then the return to autumn baseball after a 22-year absence. Blue Jays are postseason bound. Only thing left to be considered is first place overall in the American League, which would give the Blue Jays home field advantage throughout the postseason, regardless of their opposition. The American League will have the extra game in the World Series. And so the Blue Jays now in a tie with Kansas City, mathematically, but a tie gets the Blue Jays the extra home game in the ALCS if, in fact, they get there. So whatever the Blue Jays do or whatever Kansas City does, the Blue Jays have to do the same or better. It's as simple as that. It's Friday, October the 2nd. I'm Bob McCowan. Ken Reed, Jeff Blair, and Elliot Friedman all in here for the roundtable after the top of the next hour. You may have heard Alex Anthopoulos will join us at some point. He's calling in, as you might. But we haven't heard from him yet, so we don't know exactly what his status is. In the interim, we'll take your phone calls. 870-590-star-590, 1-888-666-0590. And without further ado, put somebody up on the board, and I will, I'll talk with them. Waiting for an arrow, ladies and gentlemen. And we have one. Mark in Orangeville, you're first today. Hello.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good. I wanted to talk about the Olympics, which I know you're kind of against, and so am I, basically. I don't want it here in Toronto if I don't have to pay for it. But I had an idea, and I wanted to run it by you. When you were talking with David Peterson, he was saying all about the infrastructure that, you know, it only gets done because there's a date, there's an event. And I was thinking, if they're going to spend $8 billion on Olympics, why not take six of it, do infrastructure, and $2 billion, and throw a big party. Set a date for July 2022, and have a big, huge, massive party. Let the world know about it. Spend a couple billion dollars on a free party for everybody. It's just an idea.
Why?
Because
what's the agenda?
Instead of doing it for the Olympics and sending money, all the money leaves, why not keep it all here? We get to have the benefit of it. We can have huge events. We can have sporting events. We can have cultural events. A big party. And essentially what the Olympics is, only it's for us. And we could tell the world, come here. Come to Toronto. Have fun.
I think I'm missing the point, but I appreciate the advice. I don't understand. Maybe somebody else does. What the agenda would be here. What kind of a party are we going to have? He talked about spending a couple of billion dollars on a party. That's a party. Why do we need one? If you want infrastructure improvement, improve the infrastructure. Spend the money. It's politics. It's the thing I hate about politics. As politicians seem to feel like they need an excuse to do things. If something needs to be done, not that you want something done. Want and need are two entirely different things. But if you need certain pieces of infrastructure, why pay 10 times the amount you would pay normally and tie it into an Olympic Games? I get that you get funding from other governments, the federal government, provincial government. I get how that works. I mean, is it nice that we have, you know, a handful of new facilities in Toronto? Yeah, I guess. Are they going to be economically viable long term? And the answer is, we don't know. They probably won't be. But if we needed them, we didn't have to have the Pan Am Games in order to get them. You got a thumbs up? We have the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, Alex Anthopoulos, is with us. AA, have you recovered?
Yeah, I have. I have. Sorry, I was late.
That's all right.
I have, and it was a crazy day / night, and it was a lot of fun. And in Florida now, and hopefully we can win more games than the Royals.
Well, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. You know, I sort of made an issue of questioning the decision to go with the Buffalo Bisons lineup, not once but twice, given the situation with Kansas City. Explain the process of making that decision.
The tough part about it, there was always a plan to give the guys a day off. They were going to get a day off if we had clinched one way or the other. The tough part about it was we were playing the doubleheader that day. If you look at guys like Pilar and Donaldson specifically, and I know two of them could have sat, but they're going to end up, I think, about 160 games played apiece. But, you know, with the two games, obviously we clinched it in the first game. They got the second game off. The next day we were scheduled to play at 4. So, you know, there was a chance there that maybe some of these guys would have played at a little bit more time to recover. But then they had to move the game up to noon. And I would think guys didn't get to bed till Lord knows what time, 3-4 in the morning. Even when there was the rain delay, the lights were off in the clubhouse, guys were getting to rest. So, and it was raining as well. The conditions weren't good. It was one of the most unique set of circumstances where you clinch in the game one of a doubleheader, and then you play the next day at noon, and game two goes a little bit longer than expected, and we have the party afterwards. Just they were going to get a day, and these guys are pretty exhausted as well. They did need a break.
I know you're aware of the Kansas City situation. What import do you place on it?
We'd like to have it. We want to have it. It's not the be-all and end-all. You know, again, you can look at last year, the two wildcard teams obviously went to the World Series, one of them having won it in the Giants. And, you know, we'd like to have it regardless. You know, you'd have it in the World Series if you were to get that far. We know we're going to have it in the ALDS. So now it's just a matter of, should you happen to line up with Kansas City, should you get to the ALCS? And it would be against the Royals, that's where you'd lose it. But, you know, one, there's no guarantees. One, you need to get there. So we need to put our best team and we need our guys to be strong going into the ALDS because we can't look that far ahead. And there's no guarantees that if we did advance to the AL Championship Series that we'd play the Royals. So that said, we'd still like to have it, but there's still a scenario that it's not going to matter. So keeping guys fresh, keeping them ready to go completely healthy is more important at this point. But look, make no mistake, you'd like to have it because you might get to the LCS and you might be playing the Royals.
But you do have, the team will have 3 days off at the end of the season. One would have assumed that maybe that's a time period where everybody could kind of heal all the bumps and bruises.
No doubt. And but I think with the time, you know, you're going to see all of our guys play in these three games here. So you're definitely going to see that. But you know, we've had some guys playing through some things that, you know, that we're trying to clinch and we're trying to get through it. And it was tough because there was opportunities to, we wish we could have given guys breaks prior to, but playing a doubleheader with those conditions, with the clinch, and then a noon game with terrible conditions with rain, really knowing that they were going to get time off one way or the other, we ultimately decided that this was probably the right thing to do.
With Alex Anthopoulos. Tulo in the lineup tonight, I hear batting seventh. Did he take some live pitches in Florida today or yesterday?
Yeah, he did. He faced Price today. Price threw the sim game. And we were curious how he's going to react to when he swung and missed or something like that. So we were able to see some of that. And just because, remember, it's his left shoulder and his right-handed hitter, that's the one where he's going to extend.
Right.
You know, when he tries to follow through. And that was what we're more concerned with in terms of swinging the bat. Defensively fielding, he doesn't feel a thing at all. And the good news was, in the same game today, and he faced pretty good stuff, obviously, from Price, he didn't feel a thing. So Initially, when all this happened, we thought, well, he might have a little bit of discomfort. Right now, he's to the point where he doesn't feel anything at all. Now, we'll see. He's, you know, the plan would be to play him in all three games, and we'll see how he recovers, how he does bounce back. It'll give us much more information before we need to set the roster going forward on Thursday. So I think the tentative plan was to play shortstop tonight, DH tomorrow, shortstop on Sunday. That obviously can change. He may get a day off tomorrow. He may play shortstop tomorrow.
Right.
We'll just kind of take it one day at a time. But he's recovering really well.
The price situation, was the decision made for David, or did you go to him, or did Gibby go to him and ask him what he wanted to do, how he wanted to play out this, the one more start in the regular season?
Gibby, Pete, and David had talked about it. Obviously, I was looped in. And I think it was just, I think ultimately the thought was, if we give him a break, keep him fresh, have him ready to go, and he knows what he needs. I mean, he's been in the league long enough. He's certainly had plenty of success. He knows what he needs going into the playoffs. We mentioned to him, look, if you want to pitch because you think it helps your Cy Young candidacy, things like that, and he said that's the last thing on his mind. He wants to do everything he can to be ready to pitch. So we felt like, and he agreed, and he was fine with it, that the best thing was to have not pitch in the series in Tampa, throw some sim games, stay sharp, stay fresh, and hopefully have a deep run into October.
Burley needs to pitch into the ninth inning in order to get to 200, I think, if the math is correct.
Correct.
Has that conversation been had with him? And do you play it by ear? The consensus is that Burley probably will be the odd man out in terms of the rotation. I'm guessing you haven't made that decision final yet, have you?
No, we haven't. We're actually going to have a meeting tomorrow morning, late morning, with the staff, and we'll have more obviously as we get closer to Thursday, but it'll be our first meeting about the roster, who our opponents may or may not be. We should know more each day. So, tonight should give us a little bit more of an indication going into tomorrow, and obviously we won't know until Monday, but we'll make those decisions at that point. With respect to Mark and getting those 200 innings, I know it's important for us to be able to have him get to 200. I know it's certainly something that he wants to do as well. At the same time, we all want to win, and that's certainly going to be the priority. I believe Gibby talked about a scenario that if Sunday's game isn't going to matter, there is a scenario, I guess, he could come back and pitch if he was short. So, no, right now we just want to win the game tonight. Hopefully he does throw a complete game or goes into the ninth like you talked about, and we get the win and he gets his 200 and it all works out.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But,
we'd love to see it.
Last question before we let you go. Was it just me or was Paul Beeston absent from the celebration in Baltimore?
Completely absent, which I'm not surprised. I don't even think he would come on the road with us in the playoffs. And actually, I meant to ask him that today. I spoke to him earlier. Did he not travel when they won the World Series? Did he not go to those games? So maybe he would come for playoff games, but yeah, he didn't show up. That's not his style. Like, he doesn't show up to spring training. He's very much, as you know, as well as anybody, not a limelight guy. Wants to stay in the background and, feels it's about the players. And you respect him for it. But I know he's very excited and happy and proud. I think he's just excited to see, the team and the organization achieve a great thing and having won the AL East.
Hopefully the players have recovered as well as you have. We thank you for your time. I know it's a busy time. And if we don't talk before the playoffs start, best of luck. And but hopefully we'll get a chance to chat between now and then. Thanks, AA.
No doubt. All right, Bob. Thanks for the time.
Talk to you soon. Alex Anthopoulos, the Senior Vice President of Baseball, General Manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. We thought there were a few questions that you might want answers to as they get ready for this final weekend of the regular season. Back to your telephone calls, 870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Ian is in Walkerton. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I was just wondering your thoughts about Burley pitching in the playoffs on the rotation. Would you think he'll be the odd man out?
No, I just said it, and I've said it before. I don't see any way he's not the odd man out. I feel badly for him, especially if this is his last season. He has been a terrific pitcher, a valuable contributor to this club for 3 years, and it's a shame that the situation dictates that you have to choose 3/4 of your 5 starters to appear in the postseason. Now, theoretically, you don't have to do that, but because of off days, the wisdom is you have 3 guys who you rotate. You use a 4th guy if there's a game where you don't have enough time for the first guy to get back. In other words, there's only 3 days rest as opposed to 4. That's the general wisdom, which means the 5th guy goes to the bullpen. He becomes the long reliever. Maybe, you know, I can't even imagine a scenario where that 5th guy would start. And right now, I don't see how it's not Burley, given his physical condition, to some extent his performance of late, but more accurately, the performance of the other guys. The only argument you could possibly make is if there was a team out there that had extraordinary success against one of the starters. Now, Stroman doesn't have enough history to be that guy. I don't think any team has had extraordinary success over Price, and you would never take your number one guy out. And it's very, very difficult to see Burley go instead of Dickey. I understand the knuckleball scares a lot of people. It makes me a little nervous watching him pitch. But he has been great the second half of the season. I think that's the direction you have to go. I thank you for the call. Ron Tecumseh, hello.
Hi, Bob. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Sure.
So just one quick comment on what you were just saying, and I'll get to my main point. I also will miss Burley's contribution as he's left off the playoff roster. He's been a real pros pro, and that he's done everything real quietly and very well for our team. So my main point is one thing we've been hearing a lot of the last few months of the season is comparing this Jays team to 92 and 93. And I just wish that would sort of stop and we could just enjoy this team for who they are. This is not 92 and 93. I think it's unfair to compare the team to those great teams because those teams went to the postseason and they won the whole show. And this team has had a remarkable second half. They haven't really proven anything yet, you know, and to say that they're better than 92 or 93, I think is really unfair to the superstars and the role players and the guys we had back then who gelled as a team and brought us 2 championships in a row, which, as we've seen over the last 25 years, is really, really hard to do. So I just hope we can enjoy this playoff run and just enjoy it for what it is.
Thanks a lot for the call. I've said this many times before, but there are people out there that do not realize that the Toronto Blue Jays changed half their roster between 92 and 93. You know, that wasn't one team winning 2 championships. Those were 2 different teams. Both of them wore Blue Jay uniforms. But there were only 12 or 13 players back for the second year. So, you know, and obviously some key pieces. That goes without saying. But the key players in 92 were not the key players in 93. It was a different looking team. And if comparisons are going to be made, and I understand that that's an inevitability, they aren't to be made now. You make them at the end of the season. If this team fails to win the World Series, comparisons with teams that won the World Series is unfair and irrelevant. If this team wins the World Series, now you're going to put an apple in your left hand and an orange in your right hand and good luck trying to figure out which one is better. Guy, Toronto, hello.
Hi, Bob. I'm just a little worried. If the Jays don't end up playing the Yankees in the first round, I think we're going to get shafted on the time slots and not get any primetime games, especially this year when we're going up against Chicago, Los Angeles, and the two New York teams that are out there, and if the Yankees move on. So I'm just wondering, do you think south of the border, the TV bigwigs there, that the Jays have done enough to earn that primetime slot, being probably the most exciting team in baseball? I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks a lot. It's a great question. I don't know the answer to it. I would say this much to you. This team has received extraordinary coverage and accolades from the U.S. media. There is nobody in the baseball world unaware of the Toronto Blue Jays. It is still, even though we've moved past the trade deadline, it is still the best story in baseball. I would think the U.S. networks would want to tell that story to a substantial audience, but it depends who they play. I mean, you framed it perfectly. Both New York teams are going to be in. At least one Los Angeles team, and maybe two, are going to be in. And the Chicago Cubs are going to be in. And those teams, in all likelihood, are going to get center stage, which means you may not see, in the opening round, a midweek night game. Get ready to call in sick, because you're going to have some 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock starts, is my guess. Unless the Blue Jays wind up playing the New York Yankees, which is indeed a possibility. In that scenario, I don't think U.S. television would be the least bit reluctant to show that game or that series in prime time. Mike, Toronto, hello.
Hey, Bob, how's it going? Bob, I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about John Gibby. Two questions here. First off, do you feel 100% comfortable with John Gibbons calling the shots for our team in the playoffs? And second part would be, out of the 10 or the 9, including without the Blue Jays, managers going to the playoffs, where would you rank Gibby amongst those 10 managers?
I can't answer. I have 100% confidence in him. I like him. I trust him. I believe in him. He very rarely does things that I disagree with. And that's how I judge a manager. You know, I don't have any other criteria for it. You hear about, you know, we have this inferiority complex from time to time. And I know there are people who haven't liked Gibby because the teams that he's managed haven't been good enough. It doesn't make him a good manager. It doesn't make him a bad manager. I have a different position from most people who follow baseball on the value of a manager. I think managers can lose you games, but they can't win you games. They can make decisions that are poor decisions that wind up costing you victories, but they're not going to go out there and generate one. Most of the time, I like what Gibby does. I like the way he uses his bullpen. I like the fact that for the most part, he will not leave a guy out hanging. If he feels you don't have it that day, you're coming out. I think most managers use their starters about the same way. It's how you use the bullpen that is critical. You know, a lineup card, injuries aside, a lineup card essentially looks the same every single day, 162 days. If you don't have any injuries and absent a player not performing to excess or being sent out because of that, managers will write the same names in the lineup almost every day and usually in the same order. Now, you might move guys around in the order depending upon whether they're hot or cold. Gibby tends not to do that. I probably would do that a little bit more, but I have no real issue with that. So when you ask me to rank him among, you know, the other managers that are going to be in the postseason, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know where to start. in order for me to get any kind of assessment of their abilities, I'd have to watch every game or virtually every game to get a feel for how they manage their team, what decisions they make, why they make them, when they make them. I don't have that opportunity, and neither do you. I think managers, for the most part, are irrelevant. With this exception, they can lose you games on the field by decisions they make with the bullpen, and they can lose you games or a season in the clubhouse if they don't manage that well. Now, I can't tell you whether the players love Gibby or hate Gibby. They say they love him, but, and I believe that's true, but I don't know that's true. But what I think we've all kind of gotten a sense of is that this group of 25, now 35 guys, are happy together. They get along. They not only play together, they play for each other and cheer for each other. And while the manager may not be integral in making that happen, if he sticks his nose in too often, if he shows any degree of favoritism, if he doesn't manage the people, there's less likelihood of that being the case. So I got no issue with Gibby. I think he's earned himself a job for next year and beyond. But to quantify with other managers is just an impossible task. 26 past the hour. Let's take the break. We'll come back and more of your phone calls afterwards. 870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. It's prime time on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
For guys, size matters. But bigger is definitely not better for guys with overdeveloped breasts. The condition is called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. Dr. Lista is a world-renowned plastic surgeon who has perfected the procedure that corrects gynecomastia with virtually no scarring. Visit theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca and size up your options for downsizing male breasts. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Before the hour, Elliot Friedman has arrived. Jeff Blair is here. Ken Reed is here. So all the assembled multitude is getting prepared as we speak. While I amuse you, the roundtable will commence in 24 minutes from now. Back to the telephones. Oh, I can't see it. Oh, there it is. Drew in Severn, Ontario. Hello.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi, fine.
It's nice to be talking Blue Jays playoff baseball after, what, 22 years?
Yeah, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. But, I mean, it's easy to see the trouble's going to end when you have the bringer of rain on your team.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get there. But my question is not about the Blue Jays. It's about the most unpopular person in baseball, Alex Rodriguez. Who does the voting for the comeback player of the year, that sort of thing? Sports writers, managers?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Why would he even be considered for it when he's basically coming back from a suspension due to PEDs?
I wouldn't
make him eligible.
Agreed. I would not. I respect what Alex Rodriguez has accomplished this year. He's had a fantastic season. For any player, a player of his age, and after sitting out a year, I think that's terrific. But he did not miss time due to injury. He missed time because he cheated. And in my mind, I could not vote for him as player, as the comeback player of the year. I'm not sure there's a better candidate in terms of the on-field performance. But I think this was something, it's a dumb award, first of all. But it was designed for players who had injuries that kept them out for a prolonged period of time and then managed to return to the game. It's not an important award. And statistically, A-Rod probably is the best. But the circumstances would not allow me to vote for him. You may feel differently, and you're entitled to a different opinion. But I think under these circumstances, I would say, nope, you don't qualify. Because this is something you essentially did to yourself. Jake, Toronto, hello.
Hey, Bob, this is so much fun. Wondering if you agree with resting Price for 11 days. And second question is, would you go after Estrada if you can't sign Price? I'll hang up and listen.
I'd go after Estrada under any circumstance, whether I could sign Price or not. I would want both of them back. As for the rest, it makes me nervous. I tend to believe more that athletes are creatures of habit. And when you take them out of, I think we people are creatures of habit. You know, on that day where you're going to go fishing or golfing or something and you get up 2 or 3 hours before norm, you never feel right. Do I eat? Do I not eat? Do I go to bed earlier the night before because I know I'm going to get up? And almost never you do. So with that in mind, it occurs to me that I would like things to be as normal as they can be. In the best case scenario, and I understand it's potentially another month of playing baseball after having played since, well, 1st of March. I get that it's a long season. I get guys are tired and banged up. But adrenaline kicks in. Price has shown no real weariness, no soreness that I'm aware of. He had a bit of a temperature the other day, but they got that under control. Doesn't seem to be problematic, and it didn't seem to factor in the decision. We had Alex on earlier, and Thopoulos, you know, didn't even mention that. So my personal preference would be don't change anything. If a guy's banged up and giving him a couple days off you think would be helpful, okay, I get that. That makes sense. But on a personal level, you know, the story is they went to David and asked him if he wanted to pitch so that he could achieve personal goals, to wit, the Cy Young Award. If, in fact, that's how they phrased it, who's surprised that David Price says, no, don't worry about that? If they went to David Price with a completely different question, David, you can pitch in your regular rotation and basically you'll have another 5 days off. Or you can rest for 11 days or throw aside. What do you want to do? So everything that I've heard suggests that they ask the former, not the latter. And I wonder whether the answer would have been different. So while I'm not sure it's a big thing, it might be nothing. Assuming he's healthy, my preference was he would pitch this weekend. Not because of the importance of the games, although clearly I place more importance on finishing first in the American League than almost anybody else, but just for the sake of routine. Kent is in Nova Scotia. Hello.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm well.
Out of respect for Burley, naming the playoff rosters and what he's done for the Jays and over his career, don't you automatically put him on that playoff roster into the bullpen, being the left-handed middle reliever opposite of Hendricks, because Hendricks, I believe, is the right-hander middle reliever. And if Burley has to come in from behind one of those three starters, which we will believe to be Stroman, Price, and Dickey, Burley's pitches are going to be looking like a oddball out coming in behind him.
No, it doesn't matter. What do you think? Thanks a lot for the call. I don't put any stock in that. Look at respect is something that is conveyed verbally and demonstrated occasionally, but generally speaking, you can convey that emotion in words. I don't know whether Burley realizes that he's likely the odd man out. I suspect he does. I don't know how he feels about it. I suspect not great. But there is no chance I don't put Burley on the roster. But I don't put him on the 25-man postseason roster out of respect. I put him there because I think he's useful. I would not be, again, honestly, I wouldn't put Hutchison on the 25-man roster. I suspect most of you would feel the same way. I respect what Hutch has done. I respect the way he's pitched. With a record like his, very few pitchers would be in this position. But his record doesn't say everything about the way he's pitched. And I'm not convinced that Hutchison out of the bullpen can be effective. Might be wrong, but I see nothing that demonstrates that to me. The way he is pitching right now. Burley, on the other hand, no concerns. It would not shock me if there comes a moment in the postseason where Burley is up warming up late in a ball game in a tight game. Wouldn't surprise me at all. I know there are other guys out there who have been in the bullpen all year who've done a good job, even a great job. And that most people look at Burley going to the bullpen as a guy who's going to come in long relief. If a starting pitcher has any problems, you can go to Burley and get a whole bunch of innings out of him. But do not be surprised if you see Burley up in the eighth or ninth inning, warming up. I love a veteran guy. I love a guy who's been there before. I like a guy with a cool demeanor. And my guess is that Gibby feels the same way. So the notion of Burley not making the rotation is one thing, but not pitching in the postseason? Betcha you're wrong. Jason Burlington, hello.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
I was just wondering your opinion on, playing for home field advantage. I guess selfishly as a fan, I want them to go for it. I just don't want them to be, if there's such thing as being too rested.
I can answer the question because I've answered it a million times and probably more than anybody in the country.
Right.
I believe in it. I believe you go for it. I believe there's value in it. I don't think you do it for ego. You don't do it to appease the fans. You do it because the Toronto Blue Jays record at home, they win about two out of every three. On the road, they're 50-50. That is a huge, huge difference. And you need to take advantage of the way you've played at home. Now, this will only kick in if the Blue Jays play the Kansas City Royals in the ALCS. Any other matchup, they're going to get home field advantage.
Right.
So I get that it's not, a major focus. But And I do understand the scenario that took place yesterday where, you know, the guys played game one of the doubleheader, clinched the division. Gibby wanted to give him a rest, have a few laughs, so he put in the Bison team. All right, I get that. Then the next day, you're supposed to play a late afternoon game. They reschedule for noon to avoid the weather. And when did the weather come? At noon. And when did the weather clear up? At 4 o'clock, which is when they were supposed to play originally. So, other than stupid weather people in Baltimore, I understand why they didn't necessarily want to go back with the other guys on, you know, 5 hours sleep. And the only scenario under which I will raise an I told you so flag is if the Blue Jays play the, if the Blue Jays don't get the get first place and they wind up playing Kansas City in the ALCS and they wind up going to a game seven and it's in Kansas City instead of Toronto. It's the only scenario where any of this matters. But why take chances? Bernie, you're on Primetime Sports. Hello.
Hey, Bobcat. Long-time listener, probably four-time caller. Totally agree with what you're saying. I was driving downtown to work yesterday. I almost drove off the road when I heard that Hutch was starting on the road and we weren't getting Price. Really feel we got to keep the pedal to the metal. You got the odd guy with, some bumps and bruises, like a guy like Martin. I get it. But to put out the Bison's team, and not really go for that home field advantage like you put, like you clearly pointed out, our record, like, it infuriated me. I mean, of course, I mean, I went straight to Bet365 and put money on Baltimore, so that was good. But otherwise, you know, we are creatures of habit. Not everyone needs the rest. I understand that the celebration was the celebration, but we could have a mini celebration. And
yeah.
You know, with regards to momentum, you know, that series, you know, if we do play Kansas City and it starts off in Kansas City, there's also a lot about momentum with regards to winning. Let's say you go into Kansas City and lose two, or you go one-on-one, or what have you. It's a lot better when you have that confidence, that swagger, and you just go for it. And you start playing around like this, I really hope it doesn't come back to bite us.
Thanks a lot for the call. I agree with everything you said. Jeff, Richmond Hill, hello.
Good day, Bobcat. How are you?
Good.
Good. Just a couple points I really wanted to get off my chest. Regarding, you took some calls earlier from guys still bashing Gibbons. Gibbons is, I think, when they were 50 and 51, the glue of relaxation, of keeping this team loose. You can't help but love every guy. I have never seen in all my years a team, and I used the word team, that really cares about each other. Like this team, I've never seen it before. And I think that has a lot to do with the manager on that point. And he does handle his bullpen well. Secondly, David Price. Here's a guy who's got an opportunity to perhaps win the Cy Young. He knows his body. He knows his situation. He knows what's going down. And I think that he said, you know what? Sure, I can use the extra few days off. Why not? Forgoing his opportunity to be selfish and go for the Cy Young. He's thinking of the team, so he gives the team the best opportunity to win. And I highly, highly respect him for that. And, you know, as far as home field, of course we want it, but we wanted meaningful games. I believe we were 0-0 with KC. Let's see who the best team is over the next over the last few games of the season. And I think if it plays right, and it should, we'll end up hosting the extra game if needed. That's pretty much what I've got to say.
Thanks
about
a lot.
That.
I appreciate Thanks the call. Are you going to go to all your starting pitchers and ask them if they want to pitch this weekend in Tampa? Or are you just going to go to Price? Think about that one. And again, how is it phrased? According to Alex Anthopoulos, they asked him if he wanted to go for the Cy Young to achieve personal recognition. For me, it's not about that. It's about we got this far, now we take the next step, and then the next step, and then the last step. Be ready. Will he? We'll find out. Roundtable coming up next.